There we are. We're just a couple of moments early. Better than being a couple of moments late, eh, Pilgrim? Eh, Pilgrim?
Eh? Let me put the our airplane in. I forgot to put that
Our airplane in.
Our airplane, our patch airplane. Oh, did you do it? Man. No, that's an old one.
Anyway, welcome. We're just a kind of easing into this live stream tonight. Yeah. Let's wait until 7 o'clock exactly, and then we will give the title and all that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Doug says we're good.
Thank you, Doug.
That means we're good. Good is good.
Where can I find our plane? I missed our plane.
Well,
a nice breeze.
Tonight, our live stream is entitled Juxtaposition. And we'll define that as we do all manner of words. Again, I'm joined in studio. By Kathleen with her new do.
It's not so much new. I had quite a bit cut off. I cut off about 4 inches of hair. I always do that at some point in the summer, though, and then come fall, it all grows back.
Speaking,
it's been too hot.
Speaking of the weather, it's been very hot and humid, as everybody knows. Fortunately, the water has receded quite a bit in the Montpelier, Vermont, and the state of Vermont itself quite a bit. So things are looking better. They're cleaning up. But tonight, we have significant thunderstorms due to roll into the area.
But so, we did pray against it, so let's see what God does.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We were in Vermont today buying our vegetables, as we usually do from a local farm. And I'd like you to just start right out, before we dive into a whole bunch of things here tonight. Our observation of our little village that we drive through on the way to the farm.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you don't mind if I mention it.
No, I think it's okay.
We are near to Bradford, Vermont, and Newbury, Bradford, Vermont. And, you know, we just love going over there as often as we can. Vermont is an absolutely beautiful state. We are so nicely located nearest, in more west in New Hampshire, near the Connecticut River. And that borders, obviously, Vermont. And from either side of the Connecticut River in this particular area is absolutely beautiful. It's breathtakingly beautiful.
I like to call it the Bob Ross country.
Yeah, exactly. And so today we went, you know, there's a place that we like to go to have breakfast every now and again. And there's a little antique store that we always love to just go in and browse and see what they have. And so today we decided to take, since it was sunny this morning, we decided we would take advantage of it. It would be a good opportunity again to just take in all of the beautiful scenery since it's been so gray and so rainy. And while we were over there, we there were a couple of storefronts that had closed during COVID. But new businesses are starting to open up over there. And I said to Anthony as we were driving down Main Street in Bradford, I said, did you just see that? And he said, what? I said, a new store is going in. I said, it's called the Devil's Den. And it's a cannabis store.
Devil's Den.
Devil's Den. Now, further down is a restaurant that when we first entered Bradford for the first time, I looked at it and I said, you know, there was so much to take in that I didn't know if I saw what I thought I saw. I didn't know, maybe it was a deer face or whatever. So the next time we went into Bradford, we pulled up and it's a place called Vittles and they have a Baphomet on their sign. So today, in talking with the woman at this antique store, she told me, I said, how do you feel about this cannabis store that's open? She said, well, it hasn't opened yet. They've been having a lot of trouble. And immediately I'm like, yes. You know, I said to Anthony, I said, we are going to go over there and I am going to get out of the car and stand on that ground and pray against that God would just clear that store out and that it will not be able to prosper and we'll have to close shop. And I would love it if you guys would pray in agreement with me. It's not earth-shattering, but, you know, it's just one more piece of ground that Satan wants to try and take. And because we find that area so beautiful, I'm not willing to give it up. And so it's worth fighting for. So the woman at the antique store was telling us that this Vittles place, everybody, the family is very well-known and obviously wealthy, and everybody wants to be photographed in their shop drinking out of their mug of coffee. For I guess it's a big thing there. When I saw that it was the Baphomet on their sign, I said, I'll never step foot in there. I just don't want to go in there. But it draws a lot of tourists to the area, so everybody in Bradford, downtown Bradford, allows it. And, you know, nobody's seen New Hampshire, Vermont is, they don't hold to the same moral code that we do, for sure. It's everywhere, but Vermont is known for being very, liberal?
Progressive.
I wouldn't even give it, progressive almost sounds positive. No, I would say they are just beyond, let's just say they're Democrat. I think that, Democrats, that says it all. But yeah, it's a state that allows things, they were the first in the nation to allow things that I just don't morally and ethically agree with. I don't. That said, the landscape is still beautiful, which is what draws us. So the woman at the antique store said that this family, I said to her, don't you think it's demonic? I said, and she said, what's demonic? I said, Vittles across the street. I said, do you know what's on their sign? She said, well, isn't it like a ram? I said, no, that's Baphomet. I said, that's Satan. She said, you know, it's funny. She said, but I always thought that maybe they might be. She said, until the wife came out with a bag on her shoulder one time that said, worship Satan. It didn't say we worship Satan. It said worship Satan. So I guess the father owns Vittles and the devil's den is the son's business, or maybe it's the brother's business. I don't exactly recall, but I know that they're related. So it's either the son opening the devil's den, cannabis store, or the brother. But the other family member owns just what? Five stores down, this Baphomet Vittles restaurant.
Yes, the village consists of maybe 12 storefronts down one side and maybe 10 on the other side with a gas station, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not anything. And now it's dominated by two Luciferian businesses, and then there's this bookstore that we did go in one time.
And she was Wiccan, so witchcraft.
And she was very open about witchcraft.
Very open about it. And I, as a matter of fact, I had sat to talk with her, not knowing where her belief system was, after I had purchased a book. And we ended up taking that book and just throwing it out. It was brand new. I didn't even read it because we didn't want anything from that store. So we're discovering a lot of things about Bradford. But, you know, I will say, and I'm not even going to worry about how it sounds. Vermont is known as being I think it was the first state in the Union that absolutely threw open their doors to any type of marriage. Men with men, women with women, cats and dogs, I don't know. You know, they let anything go there. And it's so sad because really, if you could just see the countryside of Vermont, God has blessed that place so much and with natural beauty. But the people are just, I don't know. They're under the delusion.
We're talking juxtaposition, so let's go with that. Because when we go to Four Corners Farm,
mm-hmm.
it's traditional, conservative, family-owned, multi-generational.
Yes.
It's been there since the early 1800s.
They honor God. Their son's a pastor.
Yep.
You know, in a good, hard-working, good ethic family, and, you know, we make it a point to buy our, you know, our dairy and meats there. So, you know, it's really sad to see this, but still, I didn't want to give up on that. And so we pulled around the back, you know, and they had plastic still because they were working on the inside. And I just got out of the car and we prayed. I stood on that land that property is on, and I prayed against it. And I asked the Lord to run them out of town. And I know that sounds horrible, maybe. But in this case, no, because it's bad enough that the laws of the land have just capitulated to the most debased level. And now, you know, mm-hmm. things that were outlawed are now, I mean, they're selling openly in stores now. And I'm not one of these buying this whole medical marijuana thing. I think it's just an excuse to, and I know even some people in band may disagree with me, but allow me my opinion. I think it's an excuse. I believe that it's mind altering. And I think it was just an excuse for them to legalize it and legally make money out of something that they were already making money out of illegally.
Yep.
And, you know, there's just as much risk if you're under the influence of marijuana as you are under alcohol. And it's just very, very sad, the state of our world, the state of our country. And that is just being driven home so much more. I mean, every single day we're seeing it.
You know, if it were in, quote, the big city, and you would see a cannabis store in a big city, you'd see multiples.
Mm-hmm.
To see a restaurant with Baphomet on their sign, you'd kind of go, yeah, that's the big city.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go through a tiny little village, doesn't even have a stoplight, doesn't even have a stop sign.
I know.
You just drive through. And it's obviously in a village that's been there since the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
very old farmhouses and whatnot all over, and to see it invade, you know, small town America.
And the thing that was most disturbing that she said about this is that Vittles and its way of, you know, conducting business attracts a lot of tourists, which is why everybody in Bradford doesn't want to complain too much about the relative's devil's den going in down the street, because they believe that's going to draw even more. But that's not going to draw good people. I said to her, you know, it's just like casinos. Whenever a casino is brought into an area, the crime rate ends up escalating. And the same thing is going to happen with these type of cannabis stores, because you're bringing in a demonic element. Now, granted, the family member, the relative that has this Baphomet Vittles restaurant, you know, has already brought a spirit in. There's the spirit that pervades the entire state of Vermont, you know, of sodomy and lesbianism and all sorts of, you know, horrible things. Yep. And then you've got now this coming in. And I'm sorry, people, we're just not politically correct. We have to just say it the way it is. And, you know, it's just very sad. And it really kind of puts me off a little bit of really wanting to go there again. And it's sad because that young woman that has her breakfast restaurant, that she had her two boys in there serving, and they were just the nicest kids. And they're a nice, nice family, and you hate to see that because it is not going to bring in anything good.
Yep.
It's just not. What were you thinking of?
Well, let's define juxtaposition. position. Not that anyone here needs a definition, but
I've got it here.
We like to read from, you know, the dictionaries. Merriam-Webster, juxtaposition. Let me click on this and get that open all the way. The act or an instance of placing two or more things side by side, often to compare or contrast or to create an interesting effect.
Hmm.
Did you have another?
No, it was the exact same thing, right? We got it from the same place, so.
So, you know, what brought us to this was the anecdote that we just shared with you.
Our discussion on our way to Vermont.
Yeah, our comparison and our contrast. But
it was about, we started off talking about, we were remembering and talking about the days when you were on Kev Baker. And how after you left Kev Baker, Jordy Rose made it a point to go on the Kev Baker show.
Again, Jordy Rose, formerly of D-Wave, one of the co-founders at D-Wave Quantum Computers.
Mm-hmm. And he needed to make it a point to go on after he knew that our program was no longer on there, to sort of make his, how would you put it, to sort of make amends, if you will, for his bruised ego and reputation based upon some of the things that we had presented about Jordy Rose in the past. And he, Kev Baker, would sort of tauntingly say to him, I would love to have Jordy Rose come on here. But when he did come on, Kev Baker didn't treat him the way he sort of presented to us the manner in which he would address Jordy Rose. When he was talking with us, it was more of a sort of, yeah, I dare him to come on. I want to talk to him about what he's doing. But when he came on, he was very, very passive and very affirming of Jordy Rose. But Jordy Rose felt a need to go on that show, a little show that not many people, I mean, he had his Freaky Friday and that drew, you know, sort of a, it had its own following, if you will. And, but it wasn't like it was Fox News or any of these big name places. It's this little radio show that Jordy felt the need to go on and make a point and discuss what he does because of some of the things that we had presented about the work that he did at D-Wave and what he was proposing to do at Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, it was his pride, his hubris, that compelled him to want to go on and put up a professional image so as to try and deflect any negative talk that, you know, may have been alluded to in the discussions that we had about him. And so we began from there to talk about that as one of the key characteristics of people that are aligned with what we feel is demonic thinking. And pride being huge, you know, envy, and I'm not saying this about Jordy Rose, but mainly with him, it's hubris. You know, and then boastful, you know, just very boastful about things.
Mm-hmm.
And the characteristics of Satan are being hallmarked now in the majority of humanity. And that's evident in the behaviors that are manifesting now, even in the very young. You know, and so from that, we were discussing about identifying demons.
Well, before you go into identifying demons, mm-hmm. let me give a little backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have new listeners and people that haven't been with us for years, and it's been a long time since we really talked about Jordy Rose. But back in 2015, Jordy Rose was talking about their quantum computer at D-Wave Systems that had 512 qubits. He cited that, stipulated that they were accessing 2 to the 500th power of parallel dimensions. Now, for us, parallel dimensions are demons. Mm-hmm. Individual. 2 to the 500th power. That quantity of demons that they were accessing, that they were communicating with. He said that if they were smart enough and if they were clever enough, they would be able to extract resources from these parallel dimensions. I put a different label on resources, and I said in many instances that this is quantum pollution. This is forbidden knowledge being obtained from thousands and millions, 2 to the 500th power. That quantity of demons passing information to D-Wave Systems. Now, I never spent much time talking about the Mandela effect. I had described it sometimes on the Kev Baker Show. And
your thinking has evolved on that too.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
But at the time I was saying, I think that there may be some correlation between these resources coming through from another reality into our reality and perhaps altering in some manner our reality, hence the Mandela effect. So that was sort of my theory at the time. Lo and behold, about a month later, Jordy Rose is at Tech Vancouver. D-Wave Systems, of course, is headquartered in Burnaby, British Columbia, right next to Vancouver. So he's at Tech Vancouver, and he's speaking to an audience made up of computer scientists, computer engineers, and physicists, and so forth. And he began his PowerPoint presentation. Very first slide is a picture of me. And he went on to lambaste this idea that somehow D-Wave's quantum computers were tied into this theory of the Mandela effect. Now, he didn't cite me by name verbally, didn't have my name on the screen.
I think it was.
Okay, so he had my name on the picture. And I just found it very humorous because I'm nobody. I have no letters after my name. In 2015, nobody really knew who I was. I wasn't doing any live streams. I was on the Kev Baker Show as a guest, and then I had been allowed to have my own one-hour program on the same network, and I think I did that for perhaps a year. Then I found out that the owners, the husband and wife team, the owners of the network, they had, quote, gone on vacation to Egypt. Kev Baker was talking about it. I was not on the show at the time, but he was talking about how this husband and wife had traveled to Egypt and visited the sites and, of course, went to the pyramids. They went to one pyramid in particular where they were allowed to go into a chamber where there was, you know, the stone coffins, the sarcophagus, the crypts.
Yeah.
And the big attraction was that you could lay down in the stone coffin. Of course, it's empty. And they had taken ayahuasca before they entered into the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on and on about, and this is Kev Baker relating the story, about how they were communicating with, we would call them demons, communicating with entities, perhaps past pharaohs, whatever. and that they were entering into different realities and dimensions while they were on ayahuasca.
This was Chris and Sherry Geo. Wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sherry Geo. Yep.
So as I'm listening to Kev Baker, and I'm not on the program, I'm just listening to the program, and he was endorsing it and promoting it and saying how great this must have been.
And that's when I said, and you said, nope.
So I promptly got a hold of the owners, and I terminated my relationship with them, told them exactly why, and I also got a hold of Kev Baker. And he and I were, you know, good professional associates back and forth. And I said, Kev, I'm leaving, and that's it. And that was the last time I spoke to Kev Baker. Mm. And had I known this about, you know, their belief system and all that, I never would have had anything to do with them. But boy, when I found out, that was it. Slam. Done. Mm-hmm. But anyway, going back to Jordy Rose and making fun of me, who am I to present to all these scientists? Why ridicule me, an unknown? Why not put up some scientist that everybody knows? Somebody else that maybe is more familiar, that is associated with this Mandela effect. I barely ever talked about it. I certainly was not a representative of the theory that he should attack me, but now relate your LinkedIn experiences with Jordy Rose.
It was a one of our subscribers had put together this little video, and in it was the music from the Addams Family. Remember the old Addams Family movie, Morticia and her husband? I don't remember his name.
The TV show.
Yeah, the TV show. But there was also a movie made of it. And they had put Jordy's face on the husband and Suzanne Gilbert's face on Morticia. And then they were playing the music and they were just making funny movements. So I took the clip. I attached it because Jordy would read everything that I sent, because I wanted him to see the things that we were seeing and studying and knowing where it is that their origins are and what their quantum computing is based on. He knew that I knew the spiritual side of things, and so he paid attention to what I sent. And he read things that I sent, because you would see his little face icon pop up anytime I sent information. And so I sent this video clip to him over LinkedIn. And I said, what do you think of this? And he wrote me back and he said, that's not funny. So I wrote back and I said, you're right. People shouldn't put people's faces in videos. And so I left it. I said presentations, not videos. I said, you're right. I said, people should not put people's faces in presentations. And he knew exactly what I was getting at. So
it in the bigger picture, it begs the question, why pick on Kathleen and myself? Jordy Rose is known all over the world, all over the world in quantum computing and
top
quantum
of the list
mechanics.
Being paid by DARPA. Yeah, they.
So he co-founded with Eric Ladizinski computer D-Wave Systems. They're a quantum computing company, I would say the leader in the field. He then went on to found a business unit for D-Wave while he was still at D-Wave called Quadrant, and we've covered and explained Quadrant. Then he left D-Wave and founded with Dr. Suzanne Gilbert
Sanctuary.
It was
something AI, wasn't it?
It was a robot company. Kindred Robotics. Kindred Spirits. Okay. Then they left Kindred and went and founded Sanctuary.ai.
That's okay.
And for the longest time, they had a closed website. The landing page for Sanctuary was a black and white image of a stone staircase, short staircase, descending down into what you would consider to be the catacombs or a dark basement, but certainly stones coming down into a darkened area that was supposed to represent the sanctuary. What sort of a sanctuary? It wasn't a beautiful cathedral-like setting. No, it was obviously demonic.
It was a crypt. Like you were descending into a crypt. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then sanctuary had prominently displayed sigils in their logo, and then in the photos of the staff members, you could see what looked very similar to geomancy type figures behind their head. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but there it looked very similar to some of the geomantic figures that we have seen.
But, about the crucifix over the desk.
Oh, Holly Peck nailed a crucifix to the wall. This is when she was still at D-Wave. Was it D-Wave that Holly Peck was
Sanctuary.
At? Sanctuary. Sanctuary, okay. And so the, you know, I said to Anthony, I said, the good thing about that is that Jesus wasn't on the cross. You know, he wasn't there, and he's coming back for the likes of people like Jordy Rose and Suzanne Gilbert and Holly Peck. And we were saying today in the car how these people that are, there are some that are openly doing Satan's work. They know who they worship, and they are doing the work, and they're being rewarded very well here on Earth with prominence and wealth and, you know, all the things that men are tempted by. He has all of that being given to him, but they have no idea. They have no idea the deception that Satan has put even over them, and how he cares so much. He does not, care is not even a word in Satan's vocabulary. He uses people. There is no emotional attachment there. There is perhaps a appreciation for them carrying out what they are told to do, but there is no warmth. No, they are rewarded for what they do, and their biggest rewards are what they are experiencing right this very moment. Because when it comes to an eternal destiny, where they are going is going to be nothing but eternal, forever, forever, forever torment, pain, suffering. And that's the message that they need to understand. All of these world leaders that are, you know, affiliated with the World Economic Forum or the World Health Organization, the UN, you know, the presidents, prime ministers that we've spoken about, princes, kings, queens, all of them who have given their allegiance to this order and hierarchy of individuals who report directly to Satan. See, it all filters down. These people have no idea how they are being used by Satan himself. They're being promised the world, and you know what? They may have it for a very, very short time, but there will be no satisfaction from it. There will be no love, no warmth, no kindness, no compassion, no mercy. None of these things are theirs. And they are going to be seeing and experiencing within themselves all of the characteristics of Satan: mistrust, jealousies. I mean, just think of everything negative that you can think of. You know, I mean, narcissistic behavior. It's just lovers of themselves, you know, and what they're able to accomplish. And look at me, aren't I wonderful? Look at all that I have. Look at my cars, look at my house, look at all these things that I have, which does not mean a hill of beans to the Lord. And for us here, and I think we can speak for us, if we are of the same Holy Spirit of God, then these things are just becoming less and less meaningful to us. We're abiding, you know, we're trying to make every day count as we're waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're able to discern, and this is where we were talking about it's not the demons just observing us, mm-hmm. the children of God, but we are having the ability to identify demonic spirits very easily. I know I'm getting to a point where I can look at someone, hear even a few words out of their mouth, and can determine that spirit. Now, do I act on it and, you know, go out and start saying, spirit of jealousy, come out of this person? No. It's not that. It's an inner knowing of what you're dealing with and what it is exactly, the discernment of what you should say or not. And I would say in 9 times out of 10, Don't even bother with them because they sense it about you, but they don't know. See, the people, the ordinary people that, you know, the people that have taken the vaccines, who didn't care enough to, you know, seek God for truth, and those who say they did seek God for truth, but still took the vaccine, in God's estimation, it wasn't the truth as he defines it. It was their definition of what they felt truth was. That's why they didn't have a strong enough following of the Holy Spirit to say no to this thing. Because us, just being ordinary people, knew immediately what it was, and we said no to it. When the Spirit spoke to us, we heard it. And because somewhere God said to us what truth was, and it resonated not so much in us as human beings, flesh and blood, but our spirit identified with it, with God's Holy Spirit, to know that you know that you know that this was not something that you were supposed to partake of. So when we hear those stories about, you know, oh, you know, this one's been a Christian forever, and this one's a pastor, and this one's this, and this one's that, you know, all your worldly credentials of what makes up a Christian, and they took the vaccine and then led their congregations to take it, and they all did. Well, you know what? It was a worldly church. It was a worldly pastor. It was a pastor that did not desire the real truth of God's word. Because if it were, they would have advised differently, because they're responsible for those sheep in the congregations. So, but I was saying all that. Help me come back around. I was saying all of that because we were talking about identifying spirits.
Yep. So there's something that we've introduced several live streams ago, and that is the fullness of the Gentiles and the depth of that concept. Because there's a lot to that, the fullness of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And there's an increased sensitivity in the remnant, in those that are truly saved. Mm. We've talked about the increased abilities that surmount the increases in technology from the satanic side. As Satan is pushing his technology, his minions, his agenda, God is moving his children beyond those moves, beyond those agendas of Satan. And so it's no wonder that we find ourselves, unlike days in the past, with a different kind of sensitivity, a different sense about people, an ability to pick out those spirits that we didn't have before. Certainly not the acuity that we are experiencing. And I'm not talking just you and I, I'm talking about our friends here that we've had conversation with.
In understanding, our understanding of the fullness of the Gentiles, we've always said that it's not a number, it's a state.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the children of God are brought to a place in their knowledge of our Heavenly Father, in their walk with our Heavenly Father. We have come to have a great appreciation for our biblical heritage. And when I say that, I'm not talking about, you know, Israel per se, because I absolutely think that the true Israel, mm-hmm. are the children that God is calling out to by way of His Holy Spirit today, and who are responding in the way of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's very few.
Yep.
So the fullness of the Gentiles encompasses, when you say fullness, it means entirety. It means we are embracing our heritage as a child of God, not our heritage as being Irish, Italian, Russian, you know, it's not that. It's our heritage as being a member of God's family, and knowing that, it has changed our outlook on the way that we live our life now. I had said in the last live stream I was on that one of the hallmarks of a child of God living right now in these last days, awaiting the return of Jesus, is being in a constant state of repentance. You're always keeping in your mind the things that you have done. And, you know, there's this just overwhelming sense of, Lord, I am so sorry. You know, I had volunteered from my own heart saying that when I look back on life, there's not a lot of things that I did that I would ever want to go back to. You know, like some people say, oh, I wish I was a teenager again, or oh, I wish I was back in my mid-20s, or there is no time in my life that I would go back to, because every time I look back in my life, I just see the sin that I was committing at every stage. And I'm like, the best time for me is now, because I see it and I recognize it, and I can bring it to the Lord and just say, you know what? You have been with me through it all. And when I look back on my life, Lord, why it is you just didn't abandon me, I don't know. You know, I was horribly sinful, and yet you stuck with me and you saw me through and you chose me to be your own. So there's this constant state of awareness of your sinfulness and the desire to want to repent immediately and move on from that. There's an understanding that there are certain things that we are just not disciplined enough to change or to fix, and that if we bring it to him at this time, he's able to reset those defaults.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a temper, if you have, you know, if you yell, if you, you know, whatever it is, if you're struggling with, you know, smoking or alcohol or gambling or whatever, this is the time to bring it before him, because we're being prepared as the bride. This is like preparing for a wedding. And so you've got to be purified. And that's what this time is. It's a time of purification. And so, you know, in saying all of this, we, as the fullness of the Gentiles, we are accepting with humbleness our position and titled, and I mean titled, like a king or a queen or a prince or a princess, I'm talking titled position in the family of God. And that is an honor, and that is a privilege. In our earthly state, for some of us, 6 months ago, we would have never valued that the way we do right now. Yeah. And now we are taking on, if you will, a royal mindset, and understanding that our calling and our destiny is going to be one where we rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very honorable position. And so therefore, our fullness of understanding our destiny, our heritage, our responsibilities as a child of God, the maintaining of reverence and respect and civility, these are all things that a child of God is becoming acutely aware of. We're thinking not only of our position in this human world, but we are now 1 foot, if you will, in the spiritual world more than we ever were, because we know that that's the step forward that where the other one's going to follow in completeness.
Mm-hmm.
So our understanding and acceptance of our eternal destiny with our God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit is something that is, it has changed us. And along with that comes the expectations and willingness and acceptance that the Lord God will use you going forward at this time, whatever that may be. And so we accept the giftings that come with that. There are miracles that we will do on behalf of our Heavenly Father, where the Holy Spirit is going to be manifesting with such power in the children of God, because we're so few, that we are going to be able to call in whatever it is that we will need to accomplish the will of God. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, call in all these material things. That's probably the furthest thing from it all. But we have right now, presently, as we speak, the ability to call upon our Heavenly Father and request the things that we need, whether it be the pushing back of a powerful storm front, tornadoes that are headed to your area. You know, I've used the weather as an example because I think it's a good place for you to sort of test your spiritual wings, if you will, to step out even onto your front porch and pray against the forces of nature that are being manipulated right now. Now, that's not to say that God is not perhaps sending some of these things, but God would make the distinction between your house and somebody who has worshiped Satan or is in line with Satan's thinking and agenda right now. He can make a distinction. We've seen tornadoes. They can hit every house on the street except for one. So the Lord God makes distinctions with his children. And he has empowered us with greater power than you think, because the forces of darkness and evil are at their strongest right now. So he has you at your strongest right now. And you don't even realize it. There's healing for those people that you need and ask healing for. There's deliverance from those things that you think that you cannot be delivered from. There is a whole vast selection, not even selection, that's not the right term.
Array,
treasures, treasures that, you know, and Jesus just walked in it. It was just his nature. Well, you know what? The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is in us. And we were told that we will do even greater things because the times demand it. So, you know, the fullness of the Gentiles is the heritage. It's your giftings and your callings. It is what you are equipped with by way of the power of the Holy Spirit, of which you don't even realize what you're equipped with. You don't even realize that what you have at your disposal. And I'm just hoping and praying that as we go on, God is going to, if you are open to this and you earnestly seek these things, you know, not for selfish purposes, but for the ability to be able to maintain your existence in this world that has been given over to Satan in its entirety this time. It's not like any other time in the world where you have an entire globe that is online or in line with the agendas being put forth by a few. The whole world has bought into this delusion. And so, contrary to all of that, Satan, of course, has to do something equally noteworthy. Well, welcome to the term woke generation.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly now these people have woken up to their cultures, their ethnicity. But it's more, again, culturally based and not heritage or spiritually based. They're not looking to God. They are looking to define their lifestyles and defend their lifestyles, no matter how sinful. They are looking to define and set the laws and the times according to, you know, their perceived rights or sense of righteousness. And the the thing that's astounding, and I don't think a lot of people know, is that the term woke came out of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it began. And it's morphed now into encompassing everything that has to do with coming into the understanding of, you know, discrimination and what else was it? Discrimination and what else?
Well, it was common in the Black communities, and the notion that staying woke and alert to the deceptions of other people was a basic survival tactic.
Mm.
But in 2014, following the police killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, stay woke suddenly became the cautionary watchword of Black Lives Matter activists on the streets, mm-hmm. used in a chilling and specific context, which was keeping watch for police brutality and unjust police tactics.
Mm-hmm.
In the 6 years since Brown's death, woke has evolved into a single word summation of leftist political ideology,
mm-hmm.
centered on social justice politics and critical race theory. This framing of woke is bipartisan. It's used as a shorthand for political progressiveness by the left and as a denigration of leftist culture by the right. So the opposite, the juxtaposition, is the fullness of the Gentiles.
Versus Satan's woke generation now.
Yep.
You know, which feeds into what the Lord told us about, you know, there being ethnic wars and, you know, there would be much contention over ethnicity. And, you know, and we are seeing when they say things, you know, all these different factions of, you know, specific groups of people and lifestyles that they want to define and legalize and legitimize.
And as I always, you and I always like to laugh about somebody who identifies as a cat.
Oh, God. Yeah, they want to put litter boxes in the elementary school for these children that identify as cats. The parents need to be put in jail is what needs to happen, because or have the children removed because they're not capable of raising them properly. I'm sorry. If your child starts identifying as a cat, you failed as a parent. But, you know, basically it's many shall be offended.
Yes.
And every group is offended by something. But, you know, what the Lord told me in all of this is that, you know, now is the time for us to be very circumspect in how we speak. And I'm not saying toe the political lines and become politically correct. Believe me, nothing irritates me more than when I hear certain things, because there is a boldness that comes over me that I would not mind one bit standing up in a crowd of people, but I'd probably get stoned or, you know, beaten up or something, because I would be so anti whatever they're talking about. And that therein lies the restraint that is needed. And I liken it to the time when Jesus was coming out of fasting in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. I told you about the time at the Greek Orthodox school of theology that I went to. I had taken a Bible class there, accredited course.
You were working there.
I was working there, but I took classes there, you know, and had a wonderful teacher, Father Eugene Pentiuk. He was a very, very good teacher. And we were discussing something in Scripture. And I was saying that, you know, and it had to do with the temptation of Jesus in the desert. You know, was he tempted by the food? Was he tempted by the power that Satan said? He wasn't tempted by any of that. And so I had submitted as a possibility. I said, Father Eugene, what do you think if the temptation of Jesus was not because he was hungry, not having eaten for 40 days or 40 nights, not being tempted to have water because he was thirsty, I said, or rest because he was tired, or being offered, you know, the ability to control the world. He was a son of God. He knew his position. He didn't need Satan to offer him anything. He knew it was his. I said, what if the greatest temptation of Jesus coming out. Now, you figure, he was meeting his arch nemesis after 40 days and 40 nights. So I believe he was there in his physical human body to strengthen himself for that confrontation. So like us, you know, Lord, please help me not to sin. Help me not to give in. I'm weak. Help me not to. He was weak physically, but he was at his strongest mentally and spiritually. And he needed to be, because Satan was going to come to him and was going to try and tempt him, test him. Mm-hmm. I said, what if the greatest temptation of Jesus was when he was so powerful in spirit that he was, you needed to say, Father, hold me back. I can take care of this right now. Humanity doesn't have to go any further. I can take care of this right now. Just let me at him. You know, the temptation to want to crush Satan like a bug right then and there when he knew what was going to be coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. And Jesus being at his strongest, the temptation was to not exercise his power and authority and destroy Satan at that moment. So Father Eugene went up to the board and he pointed at me and he said, Kathleen. And I've often said I do not remember the Greek word, because he wrote it in Greek. He explained it in English, but he wrote it in Greek. He said what the word was. All I remember is that he said, this word in Greek in scripture means like a horse that is put into the starting gate. And they are pawing at the ground, anxious to run forward. He said, that very well could be it. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, mm-hmm. these revelations are not always these things that are in the Bible. That's not to say that scripture, you know, you negate scripture. You look for it there, but there's also a lot. Jesus taught in parables, trying to get people to think and to come to these conclusions by way of drawing in the points and saying, do they get it? Do they know what I'm really saying here? Tell me what that parable means. You know, and so all of scripture, there are some very definitive laws and things that you need to follow, but there's also things that you need to be able to think about and conclude. And because of the omniscience of God, it can have multiple meanings depending on the person, the situation, the times. So, you know, and where was I going with all of that? We're talking about the woke generation. We're talking about fullness of the Gentiles.
Well, Jesus being tempted.
Yeah.
And
knowing
at that point, he could have, with a word,
destroyed him.
And he could have avoided the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knew what was before him.
Yeah.
But yep. He knew that he had the power to destroy Satan right there and do away with the whole crucifixion and all of that.
Exactly. But then again, it was...
And that was perhaps the greatest temptation of all.
Oh, I know where I was going with this.
Power.
I know where I was going with this. And that is, in our understanding and realization of the power that God has entrusted to us in measure, depending on your walk and your place and... You know, that God will give us his allotment of the Holy Spirit for our life to the extent that he knows that we can, you know, follow through and handle that power.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that as we increase in the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will not be used to do things before its time. But there are going to be times unlike anything before, which is why Jesus said you will do even greater things, greater in number, but also greater in terms of its intensity, because the world has never faced Satan being here physically on earth and one third of the demonic host being unleashed.
Yep.
So therefore, the children of God are going to be raised up as a standard representative of Jesus, who is returning And Satan's going to see this increase in power in God's children, you and I, Anthony. He's going to experience it. You know, we are going to be able to request of our Heavenly Father, and it will be done for us. Again, not for selfish gains or selfish means, because that should be so far removed from us now. It's not about us. We must decrease. He must increase, as John the Baptist said, so that his glory is seen through us. And when we breathe or we speak or we move or we act, there is an understanding of your royal position and titled position as a child of God, son of the Most High, daughter of the Most High. There is a great responsibility and expectation of your behavior and your mindset now, and you must rise to the challenge. And God will be glorified in and through you, and the power that you need is with you now, and it will be with you when you need miracles beyond yourself, when you need to walk through the water and there's no bridge. It'll be there. He will be there. It is your nature. It is your heritage. It is your destiny. It is who you are. It is your spiritual destiny manifesting in this physical world. We are going to be heralding the arrival, the soon arrival of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are going to be increasing in power to show this world exactly what they can expect when Jesus comes on the scene. That's why, you know, vengeance is his. We can't take that position of authority and power. When it is necessary, the Holy Spirit will absolutely tell you when and how and what to do. But in terms of trying to think that you could, you know, take on a public official or, you know, debate with kings and queens of this current generation or, you know, prime ministers, that will probably never happen to us. Some of us may be brought before magistrates, as the Lord said, but don't worry, we'll know what to say. The Holy Spirit will speak through us as we need to. But really, for what is coming our way, this is for Jesus to address. All of that power that he held back when Satan confronted him the first time, there's no holding back. He is coming back, and this is what's so awesome. We've all been conditioned to think of Jesus as this quiet, meek, mild, you know, lamb-holding weakling, really, who went to the cross. How powerful is that in the eyes of the world? Mm-hmm. Not us, we understand, but in the eyes of the world. But this time, you have never seen a warrior like you have seen in Jesus Christ. You have never seen a soldier as brave and as strong as Jesus Christ. You have never seen a righteous leader and lawgiver as Jesus Christ. But you will. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. I find that absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So you're reading? That's Finley snoring.
Mm-hmm. For at that time, this is Matthew 24, verse 21. For at that time there will be great tribulation, unmatched from the beginning of the world until now. That's what's going on right now. These are days like none before, unmatched from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be seen again. If those days had not been cut short, nobody would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short.
Unmatched from the beginning of the world, that also harkens back to the days of Noah.
Yep.
You know, and what was happening there, and we are absolutely seeing what was happening in the days of Noah today.
In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. But Jesus will cut short those days. We don't know how short, but we know he will when he returns. So we were talking today about how the Antichrist will be seeking to change the times and the laws. The times and the laws we see now through science. Let me get this back here. Through science, the proclamations and the attempts to try to change time, to redefine time, to say that, and this goes back a few years ago, in quantum mechanics, quantum physics, supposedly they had discovered time crystals. And that supposedly through these time crystals, you could travel back in time. And it's pure nonsense. Of course, it was blown out of proportion. But these are crystals in a laboratory, in which, to a very small femtosecond of time, you could measure the previous state, quantum state, of an electron. That you could see the previous orbit, because you could see the orbit it was presently in, and then infer the orbit that it had pre-existed in within a crystal. Now, a crystal being unique because it has a lattice work structure, a lattice arrangement of atoms. And so you have almost a snapshot in time in a crystal, in that there's a very precise arrangement of atoms. And so the electrons tend to stay in a fixed orbit in crystals, more so than in other material. And so if a laser was used, for example, to excite that electron to where it literally would reach a tipping point where it would absorb so much energy, and then it would suddenly change its orbit. It would expand its orbit, described as a quantum leap. And so they would be able to say, oh, well, we know its orbit now that we've imparted energy upon it. So we can step back and infer the previous orbit. And so they'd say, oh, we just went back in time in this crystal. And of course, the media grabs it and everybody says, oh, they can travel back in time now. They have crystals.
Aren't they super?
So, I mean, this is just, again, this is the hubris of Satan and those that are, you know, not looking to God for the answers. But the Antichrist will attempt to change the times of society and the laws of society.
And it's not just our human laws, it's making and creating human laws that go against God's laws. You know, I mean, exactly like what we're talking about with respect to lifestyles and, you know, granting special rights and privileges and protections to, you know, various groups when it should be God's laws are the standard. And to
violate
that in any way.
And write new laws into place. What sort of pronoun are you to be addressed with?
I know.
You know, and the like. Many shall be offended in the last day. So as we continue to see these manifestations of evil, these we interpret, consider them to be the confirmations that these are the last days. Because of these manifestations.
And just the global buy-in of all of these, you know, evil intents. You know, they are focused, Satan is focused on the human body and augmenting to make it more in his image. And he's done it. you know, Andy's really good about the percentages, and I know we're over 70% now of people that have had just one. That's all that's needed is one. You know,
let me jump back just for a second. We were talking about Bradford, Vermont, and where we pulled around to the site of this new cannabis store and prayed against that it would even open its doors.
Mm.
And you had said once we started to pull away, there's probably no one that has or will pray in the name of Jesus against this store except what we just did.
Right.
And that's not to say we're anything special. It just shows this is the remnant. There's so few.
And I am believing that the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and when you say praying in the Spirit, it's not like you have to get into a certain state of mind, you know, to be able to do. No. Praying in the Spirit means that you are prompted by the Holy Spirit, and when you pray in that relationship with God, you are automatically praying with the same Spirit as the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Satan would not say to me, Kathleen, go and stand on the land and, you know, pray against my devil's den shop. He just wouldn't do it. Obviously, when that, because it was a sense of righteous anger mm-hmm. that welled up within me. You know, I don't care who the owner is. And it was just that this was a place that we enjoyed. And okay, we saw that Baphomet Vittles restaurant across the street, and we kind of just, when we first realized and said, you know what, we just won't be patrons there. We're not going to go and eat there. And it's sad that it's there, but we'll just stay away from it. And then as we, you know, started to explore the areas, you know, a new store every time we would go just to kind of get a feel for the what they had there and come across that bookstore and then the woman who's involved in that Wiccan. And then I was like, what is going on here? And then to drive there today and see it, it was like, that was the last straw. That's it. I've had it. No, he's not taking any more ground. No, I've had it. I'm putting my foot down. And I literally got out and planted my feet there. And I said, no, we're not going to do this. There is power in my prayers. There is the Holy Spirit understanding, you know, the wearing out, the frustrating of the saints. The Lord said that this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do get frustrated. But, you know, we can put, remember I've always been saying, we cannot stop where the world is headed right now because it's God's plan that these things should happen.
Indeed.
But we certainly can put up roadblocks. We cannot make it easy for Satan. And that's what our prayers and our laser-focused heart and mind and prayers can do. And when we focus on these things and we bring them before our Heavenly Father and the things that would make us righteously angry, like Jesus when he was in the temple and he saw all these merchants, mm-hmm. you know, trying to capitalize on repentance. He was like, no, I'm not having it. You know, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. It's not a den of thieves. Get out. And so that's how I felt today. And I know you've probably had similar circumstances. But you know what? Stand on that ground. If there's a cannabis place in your neighborhood, stand out front, put your hand on the wall, and pray against it. But you don't have to be drama. I mean, we were very quiet in what we were doing. I think God wanted to see as a step of faith, you know, would we be willing to do this? Is that your heart? And you know, the same can be for you. If you know of things in your neighborhood or things that are advancing, you know, maybe people that are troublemakers, you know, you can quietly go for a walk and walk past that house or bend down and pretend you're tying your shoe or lean against a tree and just start praying. You know, there is a lot because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So know your birthright. Know the power that he has given you, especially in these times. So I see major storm clouds and wind blowing in, so I need to go shut our windows, and I'll let you take mm-hmm. care of what you're doing. What time is it? Oh, that breeze actually feels good.
8:13.
Okay. Yep. Do you want me to come back, or are you going to talk about something? Come back. Okay. All right. Well, let me just go shut the windows because I don't want rain coming in.
Start with this one. Just put it down about to there.
Okay.
Please.
Yep.
Yeah, so the thunderstorms are starting to roll in that we were expecting tonight.
Yeah, and there's a strong line of them, so pray with us that these storms do not bring hail or anything like that.
Well, flooding again in Vermont areas.
I know. Are the windows upstairs open?
I don't know.
I think there might be one. All right, I'll be right back.
I'll tell you a quick story. We were living in a different town in southern New Hampshire before we moved into this home. And there was a forecast for thunderstorms to come through. And on a rare occasion in southern New Hampshire, they do get small tornadoes, as they do in the Boston area, just over the southern border. And we had a storm blowing in, much like it is right now, and Kathleen and I prayed against the storm, that there would not be any, you know, damage to homes and cars, because we were surrounded by trees in this area that we were living in, and certainly protection for our home at the time, and our vehicles. And we prayed directly against it, and then we went out and we opened the front door, and we could see, you know, we're starting to get power surges here, so we may lose the computer. We could see a downburst, a very powerful, cold downburst that had hit just across the street. And it had knocked down some trees, and it was moving directly in a line towards our front door. And so we prayed again. And just as it approached another set of trees across the parking lot from our home, it diverted. And it didn't strike the tree that was directly in front of us, but it went off and struck a tree off to the side, and then harmlessly fell to the ground. And that was the end of that downburst. There have been many other instances where that has happened. And again, this is not to say that we're anything special. It's just an example. In the demonic realm, what are known as the governors in the demonic hierarchy, they are given dominion over the four elements, given by God, dominion over the four primary elements: earth, wind, fire, and water. So when you are praying against the elements, understand that you are targeting those governors. You don't need to know their names, and just target them as a group. And command those elements, because you have a greater power through the Holy Spirit than even those demonic governors have over the elements. So give it a try.
I did.
Yeah.
I just did.
I know you did.
We
have seen the same thing happen with this home here, where we have prayed against the elements. And up in this area, there have been tornadoes before, and we have had tornado warnings. And I like to joke that in this little valley that we live in, we have our own unique weather in this valley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to, through the Holy Spirit, to steer some of those weather elements.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is not to say we're special. It's just, this is where the Lord really calls us to understand our inheritance, to understand the gifts that He gives freely to us. Now, I'm seeing up in the top of the window here some pretty good lightning just going off.
Yeah, I'm looking at it over here too.
So we may be curtailing this live stream early if the power doesn't stay on. We've been getting some power surges.
I was checking the bathroom upstairs, and I think we have a dead mouse. Smell like a dead mouse smell. I know.
More information than people need to hear.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you. Yep. It's a country house. It happens. But I'm not going to go looking for it. I'll let you go looking for it.
Yeah, I'll find it.
I hear the
fire department
cars.
Going on.
I know.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to point out, and this may be kind of a touchy subject, but...
What else? We've touched on a lot of touchy
touch on
subjects.
Every touchy-feely night.
Touchy.
I have always had this sense about Satan and his demons that one of the things they really hate is God's children. And I imagine the disciples did this, but God's children mocking them.
Mm-hmm.
We acknowledge they have a certain amount of power, certain level of power to and authority over the elements that I was just talking about, but Satan doesn't like being laughed at. He doesn't like being mocked. Now, we don't mock him. We command him in the name of Jesus, just as you do. But you know, the counter to the fear is to laugh in the face of the one that's trying to generate that fear, to promote that fear. So how can you laugh? The juxtaposition, how can you laugh at that? Because you know where your power is derived from. You know the basis of your strength is salvation and your relationship, your faith with Jesus Christ, who never leaves your side. And you know full well that you have the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the protection and the authority to mock him.
That's the other thing. That's the word that I forgot to emphasize, and that is authority. As a child of the Most High God, there is authority given to you. And we've known about this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think that we ever really believed it.
But,
you know,
the times are bringing that about.
Oh, making it very, very clear.
Yep.
Because choose this day whom you will serve. Well, we have chosen. We are not going to go the way of the world.
That's right.
Lord, help us all to maintain that strength, you know, going forward into the days ahead. But we need to understand that with this titled position in the royal family of Almighty God comes the authority by the name. You know, when you say the King of England or the Queen of England or the Prince or the Princess of England, you know, there is an authority that comes with a titled royal position.
Yep.
And child of God, you've got the authority to be able to command the elements and to call forth what is needed in these times. So, you know, please be encouraged by this. I think, and don't be afraid to embrace it. I think a lot of people are a little hesitant to exercise that authority, but you know, this is the time that God has given us to begin to begin to realize what your heritage and your namesake means, and to act accordingly, not in a haphazard way, not to take it lightly. Oh no, no, never to take it lightly, but to just quietly understand what resides in you, in both your human body, but more so in your spiritual position, that is what we are moving toward. We are moving toward being with God in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
When we leave this earth, and you know, we are going to be exactly like Jesus.
Yep.
And act as he did and carry out righteousness as he did, because we will be like him. I'm not saying we're all running around as little Jesuses, but in a sense we are God's children. And you know, when they say that some will co-reign with him, meaning we'll have various responsibilities and positions here on earth, you know, to when it comes to rebuilding this place.
Yeah.
So you know, well, one of the there is I'd authority.
Like to, I'd like to add to this is this is preparation, because we know things are going to change dramatically under the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So between now and the time of the Antichrist being revealed to the world, this is our opportunity to begin to exercise that spiritual warfare, to sharpen our spears, work on it now, because under the Antichrist we're really going to need that spiritual ability.
And that is going to rise in terms of our strength as we find ourselves confronting these demonic entities and powers.
Yep.
And you want that strength to be increased. So that means that you have got to do the spiritual legwork, which again, I will never, ever underestimate or minimize. Never. If anything, I will shout it. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Do not give Satan anything to come to God with in your life that you have done in the past, present, or future to be able to say, he did this, she did this. Recognize, I don't care how bad it was, how sad it was, how horrible, whatever you did, secrets that you don't think that anybody saw or knew or heard or has a clue of, God saw it. He knows. And he's waiting for you to come to him and humble yourself and give it up. Just get the words out. The heart will follow. Make that confession unto your faith. Make that confession in trust that the Holy Spirit of God is just, he's waiting to take that from you because you're being hindered by it.
Well, now's the time to build up your confidence.
Absolutely.
Woo! Well, that
That's a confirmation.
That's a confirmation. That was close.
Yeah. So let me just pray real quick.
We want to build our confidence before the Antichrist is enthroned, so that when that time confronts us, we have the knowledge, we have the ability, we have that confidence to say, nope, it doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. We can withstand this.
Well, you know, as the Antichrist is enthroned here on earth, meaning put in a position of prominence and authority, being the temple of God's Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to sit enthroned in our life. That means that in greater measure. See, there are temples, bodies that God may have visited to try and get them to come on, if you will, and be, I know that's really close, that he visited and gave everybody the opportunity to worship him. But they just didn't. And some may have said it with their mouths, but it wasn't in the spirit of truth that he wanted. So as he now takes up the throne and enthrones himself in our temples, that's going to meet and exceed the enthronement of the Antichrist here on earth.
Indeed.
Which is why Satan should be fearful of children of God.
No, he is.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why he tries to push buttons. Demons observe us, as we've talked about in the last few live streams. The third of the angels have been cast down to earth, and they are observing humans, and they don't really care about Homo Novus anymore as far as observations. They're observing the greatest threat to the demons, which are God's children.
Mm-hmm.
They're observing us, and they are trying to push our buttons, trying to hit our weaknesses. But we can hit the weaknesses of the demons because we can command them through the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's their weakness.
Yeah.
Now, I do need to let you guys know that our dogs are here in their kennels, and they don't care for the lightning and the thunder.
I know. Your family's okay with it, huh, Finn? He's all right.
I apologize. Like,
so long as you're here, Mom and Dad, we're okay.
Yep.
Don't leave us. We will.
It's okay.
All right, I'll pray.
Yep.
Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you even for the rain. I thank you that you are Lord over the floods. And I come to you right now and I ask, as I have, that you would deflect from this area any catastrophic rains, winds, hail, tornadic activity. Lord, we speak to this storm and we say, peace be still, as Jesus did. And so I pray for all of those, Lord God, who are now having to clean up after devastating storms, not just in New England, but Lord, around the world. Around the world.
Yep.
The flooding is just, it's catastrophic. Landslides, rock slides.
House floods.
It's Lord, it is ramping up to it's just not a good time. But I thank you that you see your children and you make distinctions. I ask that everyone here tonight, Lord God, of your children, that you would put that hedge around their property, their lives, their, you know, their loved ones, their livelihood. Protect their animals if they farm. Protect everything that your children have, but mainly protect them. We thank you for this evening. We thank you that you keep us in remembrance of our heritage. Thank you, Lord God, for being part of the fullness of the Gentiles. Continue to pour into our lives that understanding and power and strength. And Lord, above all else, please don't let your Holy Spirit stop pressing on us for those areas that we must confess of, so that you can deliver us, so that Satan cannot have any strongholds in our life. And that's the key to repentance. It's humbling yourself before you, acknowledging our sins and our failings and coming to you, because we know that it hurt you, we know that it hurt others, that it cost us dearly, and it cost Jesus his life. And so I thank you. I thank you so much, and that you want a bride that is spotless when you return. And Lord, sin mars us, and you, by the blood of your Son and your plan for redemption and for salvation, created the perfect sacrifice through Jesus. And that was a very, very painful death. It was gruesome in its brutality. And Jesus, you were so brave to face that cross and the humiliation of hanging there naked and bleeding out for our sins. It's a very real event. And sometimes we think of it as just a Charlton Heston movie, and it's not. It's not. It was your life. It was the plan of God. And we thank you for your bravery, for your stoicness. We thank you. And I pray right now, Father, that you would be with everyone here, giving them guidance on how to direct the course of their lives in these last days. I pray for encouragement where we have realized the losses of loved ones to this mark of the beast. It hurts. It hurts. And I know you know that pain, for you have been experiencing it since the beginning of time. And I know it has grieved you sometimes that you even created men. But Lord, as your daughter, and speaking, if I may, for a moment on behalf of everyone here, we are so thankful that you did create us, that we did at some point in our life, and perhaps even now to a greater extent, have the wonderful experience of loving someone and caring for them and understanding and appreciating and valuing that and knowing what a gift it is. Thank you for that time. Thank you for that experience. Thank you for that person. And so I pray right now, Lord God, that you would keep us all safe, bring us through this storm, and the ones that they predict ahead, we will take our place and set our feet in rivers, in lakes, against the ocean, on our land, and we will pray against the destructive elements in our designated areas where we live. And I thank you for trusting us with the power of your Holy Spirit and teaching us that our hearts are kept right, for we never want to ever see it as a worldly type of power. It's just like breathing in and breathing out. It is just it's who we are. It's our existence. And when we need it, we know it's there. And so I thank you for being my Father, for being my Creator, for forgiving me. And I just ask you to bless all of our friends and family here. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I think the dogs are tolerating it very well.
I think we've had so many storms, they're just getting used to it now.
Yeah.
And they're better because we're here.
Also, last little comment in the sign-off for tonight. Progress on the Rickon Hoop. What is a Rickon Hoop? It's a combination of chicken coop and rabbit hutch. So you have Rickon Hoop for chicken coop and rabbit hutch. The rabbit portion is completed. The rabbits are in their home tonight during the thunderstorm. They were in it last night, in fact. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy it.
Yeah.
They have more room to move about. We put their existing small hutch inside of it. So now they feel comfortable in there. But I have there's a Habitat for Humanity store not far from us. It's called Restore. And for next to nothing, I was able to purchase these 6 foot tall, 24 inch wide glass panels. And they're storm door panels. Mm. They're the replacements for a storm door.
But they're very sturdy, very strong.
Very strong. And I think I paid $5 a piece.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's where you bought most of your stuff to do this.
So at the end of the Rickon Hoop is this 6 foot window. And you can look in like at the zoo. You can look in and see the rabbits.
And they come out and they look at us. And the dogs love it. They just peek in and see how they're doing. You know, their bunny brother and sister are doing. And
then further in, there's a partition wall that has a second window, identical window. And that separates the rabbits from the chickens eventually. I have to finish their portion.
So they'll be able to see each other.
So the rabbits and the chickens will be viewing each other through the viewing window.
We should charge admission.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll take pictures once it's completed and all of that good stuff. But the rabbits are, rabbits in the nature, out in the wild, they live underground. They dig burrows, as you know. You know, Alice in Wonderland and all that stuff, or going down the rabbit hole. And these two rabbits of ours, they are very industrious. They have dug some holes that are 6 feet. They go down a couple of feet and then they go horizontal. And they go 6 feet horizontally into there. So I have to periodically take the shovel and break all that up and fill it in.
Last night, they were digging under the Rickon Hoop, and you took that long shovel and you put it, then you finally stopped when it got to like your wrist.
Yeah.
That's how deep. And so you had to like shovel dirt in there to get them to.
It's amazing how much dirt.
And every day you have to watch them.
It's amazing how much dirt two rabbits can move. You go out there and you just see all this dirt everywhere, and it's just amazing. But they're great. They're great. The dogs love them. And anyway, we'll keep you posted on that.
When we get
the chickens, we'll take pictures and share the chickens. And I'm sure there'll be chicken stories to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the latest from the Patch Farm here in New Hampshire.
Dogs, rabbits, chickens.
Yeah.
That's it.
Anyway, God bless you all and good night.
Good night.